Welcome in, everybody, to another live edition of 410 Sports Talk. I'm James Haskell, along with my co-host Glenn Martin. It is Tuesday night, and it's just you and I right now, Glenn. Just you and I, my man. No DK. He's lazy on us tonight. What's up, DK? Where you at?
No, what's going on? I mean, it's not just you and I. Of course, we got Lisa Ann. We got Pretty Boy Suave in the comment section. So welcome to you guys, and we'll have a guest here soon.
Yeah, and you know what happened, right?
What's that?
I commend you for losing and still showing up. You see, DK just lost and he was like, I'm taking my ball.
Is that what it is? Is that what it is? He quit?
Yeah. He quit on us, dude.
Nah, dude. I'm looking to the future, bro. That's all it is.
I love being able to.
I'm going to get them Dion shades, bro.
I love being able to talk trash when DK can't defend himself. It's my favorite.
Yeah, I'm going to probably take advantage of that this whole episode here. Shout to Mr. Topper in the comments.
Ew.
My guy, Craig's big fan, by the way, of Mr. Topfer.
Nice.
Apparently they had some time together. But anyway.
He's in high school now. Shout out to Craig.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt. All right, let's get into it. We got a lot to talk about. Of course, we got our film expert in front of the show, Cole Jackson, coming on to break down what he saw from the Sunday beatdown of the Kitty Cats that the Ravens put on them. We're going to give a quick reaction to our thoughts on, you know, the kind of the state of the division after last night's Monday night game between the Steelers and the Browns. We got some injury news that we got to get into, which is, you know, a bit disappointing news that we heard today that I didn't expect. So, yeah, let's get into it, Jimbo. Where should we start?
Yeah, I think let's start with the negative so we can kind of get through it and move on, right? And that would be, unless you have additional news to this, but, you know, on the injury front, of course, saw Darius Washington is going to hit the IR list with a torn pectoral muscle. That's a real bummer. Second guy we've lost, obviously Marcus Williams is opting not to have surgery, but our Darius seems to be out for the season, if I understand correctly. So, you know, that's a real bummer for him and the team. But honestly, I mean, it's a real bummer for our Darius, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard not to like this kid, right? And something like this goes down. You know, real tough situation for him. So I think he's going to come back and be better. I think that, you know, he's the type of guy that faces adversity and does well. So I'm not too worried about that, but it's just a bummer because this is his first year being able to get substantial clock, you know?
Yeah. He finally kind of proved himself enough throughout training camp to get a substantial role in a pretty damn good Ravens defense. And then he goes out and has this injury. I mean, look, it's I'm bummed for our Darius, but I'm bummed for the Ravens. I mean, he's been playing his ass off. We talked about his ball skills and how he overcomes his lack of physical traits with those ball skills. And it you know, of course, it's going to make people go, see, this is why, you know, you don't take a guy this small. They end up getting hurt. But to me, this wasn't that type of injury, in my opinion. I think it was just kind of bad luck. Look, Marcus Williams got hurt. I don't think they call him, you know, undersized at his position. So, you know, he had the same injury. So, but yeah, disappointing for an already thin cornerback room to take the number one nickel off the board certainly brings more urgency to the fact that we need Marlon back on the field. So that's kind of going to parlay into my next question to you, Jimbo. Mm-hmm. Marlon Humphrey was not put on IR. They kept him on the 53-man roster with the idea and the assumption that he'd be back before week five.
Yep.
Or else why not put him on IR, open up a roster spot, and let's get another guy in here who can help. So I think fans were excited, like, wow, he actually might be back before week five. Here we are, preparation for week three. We still have yet to see Marlon Humphrey on the practice field, so I find it hard to believe he's going to play. So why the heck was Marlon Humphrey not put on IR from the start?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I mean, I think part of it has to be their conversation with Marlon around how well he felt, you know, him personally. And then also around the potential that, let's see, week four is who? That's the Browns, right?
What week? Week?
Week four?
I think so. Yeah. Next two after this one.
Yeah. Browns and Steelers.
Yep.
And so, you know, dude, come on. This is the second time in a row. What is wrong with me? Golly, yay. Man. No, I just say, like, is it, if it could be worth that one game? What if he comes back after the week three game and he's ready to rock in week four? That's immediately came to my mind. We were kind of talking about that in the prep for this show was that it might be worth that one game. I get your point as well, but one, you never
ramp up. Like, huh? Coach talks about the ramp up. I mean, so, like, is 1 week of practice enough of a ramp up?
You know, I just don't know. I don't know what he's doing behind the scenes.
Yeah, he could be. I mean? The media only sees like the first half hour. So maybe he has been out there and we just haven't been able to see it.
Or like, you know, just on, I mean, times what he's doing in his rehab, I guess, is, you know, what I'm not necessarily on the field, on the practice field, anything like that, but what he's doing in his rehab and how he's moving, he could, you know, that could shorten his ramp up period.
Yeah.
But also it could be the other way around, right? Where maybe it's just taking longer than they originally anticipated, right? And that's the part I don't like talking about, but it's also something that could simply be the truth as well.
Yeah. And I think that's a gamble. Obviously, it's turning out to be that Coach and Eric took in not putting them on IR and freeing up that extra roster spot. And maybe it's a gamble that, you know, ends up biting them a little bit. Not to say that extra roster spot would have been like a game-changing player that would have, you know, who knows. But it's a little bit odd if he ultimately doesn't come back till week five anyway. And you could have had, you know, an extra D lineman an extra cornerback
in
an already thin room. I don't know. Interesting there. But also in injury news, injury news here with the injury to J.K. Dobbins, the fact that his season is over. Obviously, we're a little bit less deep at running back, although still got some pretty good talent on the roster with Gus Edwards, Justice Hill being 1 and 2, followed by, you know, Melvin Gordon. And then Keaton Mitchell's expected to come back week 5 and be a real spark plug.
Yeah.
But the Ravens have kicked the tires on a disgruntled, I don't know how you call it. I mean, it seems like the Rams don't like Cam Akers at all, despite a strong end of the season last year. And some are saying that the Ravens have kicked the tires on Cam Akers. They've brought in, or they're bringing in, Kenyon Drake, who played for them last season for a visit. So what do you make of the Ravens dipping their toe in the running back market?
You know, it's just weird to me, right? Because I don't think there's a ton of urgency or due to like a lack of talent. It has to be depth. I think Justice and Gus are getting the job done from 1-2 punch, right? And then if you activate Melvin Gordon, you have him back there as a guy that is a proven vet. I think that's a solid like combination of backs. And then, you know, somehow you mix in Keaton Mitchell. But I don't mind the names. Like, you know, obviously Cam Akers can play. He can ball. And Kenyon Drake has done well here. And I could see him finding a spot in this type of offense because he's the type of guy that can catch the ball in the open field and make a guy miss. And he's relatively versatile as a back. Mm-hmm. So I like it, but, and Cam Akers would be cool, but, I'm always hesitant. Kenyon Drake, I feel a little different, but when you bring a guy outside in, what's it going to do to the guys in the room, right? Does it give them juice? Does it like make them feel like, hey, you don't trust me? You know what I mean? Like, what's it do to their psyche? I think that's something to think about as well, because right now they could be a cohesive group that is feeding off of each other and really, you know, using that momentum to say, hey, look, guys didn't believe in us. People aren't giving us any credit, whatever, but we're going to go out there and get the job done. Right. So I don't know. I just don't think there's a ton of urgency, but I know a lot of people are excited about it. Where are you at on this? What's your opinion on this?
Yeah. As far as Cam Akers, I don't like hearing that he's a healthy scratch. And when I hear the comments from Coach McVay, he talks about players have to show accountability. And for that reason, they're a better team to make him inactive as a healthy player and give 100% of the snaps at running back to Kyren Williams, who's a younger player. That tells me that they think this guy is not good for their locker room. He's not, you know, a guy who can take accountability, which shows, you know, the younger guys, and he's a vet, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't be setting a bad example. So for that reason, I don't want to bring Cam Akers in. I'm absolutely fine if they want to sign Kenyon Drake to the practice squad. Sure. To me, I'll take Kenyon Drake over Melvin Gordon. That's just me. I haven't seen anything from Melvin Gordon other than the fact that he's been able to stay healthy, that makes me go, I want that guy. Where Kenyon at times, like, he was our best running back at times. Yep. I mean, we already know he's a 3-down back. He can certainly catch it as well as run it. So, yeah, I'd be fine with them bringing him in for depth purposes, but anything beyond a practice squad addition, I think it's unnecessary.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good point. I like your stance on this. I'm with you. I'll ride with you on that one. I'd take Kenyon Drake because you know who he is. You know what kind of guy he is. He loved being here. He was outspoken about that. As soon as they said they're bringing him for, I don't know if you saw this. As soon as they said that they were bringing him in, it was announced. He wasn't trying to hide anything, hide his excitement at all. He tweeted about it immediately, right? Yep. This sounds like it's a place where he really wants to be. So I think that's a great point. But I want to throw this one back to you and kind of get to the defensive end. You know, obviously once Cole gets on, we're going to kind of break down the game a little bit. But how many more injuries can the Ravens really withstand here? You know what I mean? I'm starting to get a little nervous. Now, I know every team is going through some injuries. Mm-hmm. And look, injuries in and of themselves, you know, even thinking about them or even considering them, the Ravens are still, in my opinion, one of the top teams in the AFC based on their performance in the past 2 weeks. I think the AFC has kind of come up a little short as far as what people were expecting them to, you know, come out and be as a mm-hmm. conference. And so it's made the Ravens look even better. But my question to you is, like, are you starting to get nervous about the injuries piling up, man? Like, just another one today. And, like, you know, you hear about Adafe and now Odell is, you know, all these things. So this list's getting a little long, Glenn.
Yeah, I mean, you never like to see it. But the only thing that, like you mentioned, the only thing that makes you feel, I guess, better about it is that they're not in this boat alone. Every team has had, I mean, some devastating injuries to key players. I mean, all you can do is hope that the injuries that are inevitable aren't season ending and that it's not to key guys who could cause you to lose games. And look, the one thing I'll say when you have to deal with injuries, there's two things you need, right? You need depth, which I think the Ravens have shown that they can develop depth from 1 to 53 on their roster. And I think you need good coaching staff. And we're going to get into it more with Cole, but I think, I mean, you'd be hard pressed to find a better couple of coordinators that mm-hmm. at least through 2 weeks from what everything you're seeing than Mike McDonald and Todd Monken. I mean, they're getting their roses, Jimbo, from everywhere mm-hmm. you look. People are impressed with these two guys. So I think if any team can kind of weather these injuries, it's a team like mm-hmm. the Ravens who believe in building depth from 1 to 53 and having a great coaching staff.
Man, I think that's a great point you bring up. And of course, it's something to talk about. Like, these coordinators, you're right, are, tell you what, they're making their money. You can, I mean, especially when you watch a team like the Bears, who's been roasted all day.
Gosh, dude, why are they not calling Greg Roman and firing their OC
seriously,
yesterday?
If you want Greg, I mean, if, yeah,
dude, their offensive peak in 3 years, but there'll be heights that they could never have imagined. Especially, right. you know that Jefferson. That Justin Jefferson has more receiving yards than anyone in Bears history already. He's in year three.
Jeez, that's insane, man. That is insane.
They've been around over 100 years. And yet he has already surpassed their leading receiver. So they're crazy. But yeah, anyway, we're not here to talk about them.
But yeah. I just want to say that's a great point. Call Greg Roman, because who knows what you can do with that peak, right? I mean,
dude, if they just played into the athleticism of Justin Fields and just went all in, yeah, they could definitely be a playoff team in that garbage of a conference.
I mean, they're worried about the Detroit Lions?
Yeah, like, come on. Come on. But anyway, I got to ask you, Owe is seen in the walking boot.
Yeah.
Bowser, to this point, is still weeks away. I think people have even forgotten Bowser's on this team.
Yeah, it's true.
Now, we're happy with what we've seen from Jadeveon Clowney, but I still think we've yet to see. I think I need to see more from Ajabo. That's for sure. Yeah, he had the sack, but that's one sack against a backup who came in for his first play. I didn't see a whole lot from him last week. What's your opinion kind of on the state of the pass rush?
Well, one question. I didn't see any additional information on Adafe, and I know John says he's going to keep it close, right? Do you know anything else? Have you heard anything else?
Other than it's just an ankle, and he was seen leaving the stadium with a boot, but that's all I have.
Because I feel like people put guys in boots so fast now.
Yeah, it could be precautionary, but...
You know, it's crazy. But ultimately, I mean, he's going to miss time. That's what it comes down to. He's going to miss time. So, and I get nervous about overworking Clowney. Right, mm-hmm. because Clowney's mm-hmm. got a history of, you know, look, DK texts. Let me tell you guys what DK just said. I have a work meeting that has run over. I'll try to jump on when I can. He's out at the bar.
Yeah, dude.
Come on, DK.
Right now.
That's right.
He's doing body shots out of somebody's navel. Okay? That's right. That's what DK's up to. Don't let him fool you.
That's right. Yeah, out working, please. No, we hope you you hop in, DK. But I was actually going to bring up what Fabu Breek says here, that JPP's the guy to call, man. Three letters. JPP. I don't know what he's doing or what kind of shape he's in, right? He came in last year with a pot belly, still dominating, right, till he got into shape. But
I got to ask you something that's edge-related. I was surprised to see this. Did you see T.J. Watt broke the Steelers franchise sack record last week?
No, I didn't. I tried not to pay attention to them.
It's like around 86 or 87.
That's insane.
Isn't that insane? Like, to me, I think the Steelers, I think Blitzburg, I think Sacktown. Terrell Suggs have 130-something sacks.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean.
Nobody's touching our record for a long time.
Dude, you don't think Away's getting. Oh, we shouldn't do that. Don't do that, Jimbo.
Yeah,
don't
poor guy's so in a boot. Hard.
Yeah, don't laugh so damn hard, Jimbo.
Hey, you set me up for that one, man.
No, I did.
Oh, well, actually, let's bring up one more name really quickly because Ashanti Mende brings up in the chat. What's the deal with Jones right now in Raiderstown?
Well, now he just came out and said that his account has been hacked. That's what he said. All these tweets. He said, I just got my account back, guys. It was hacked. Hey, shout out to intern Brad in the chat.
Whoa, what's up, Brad?
What's going on, buddy? Hope all is well.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, his account was hacked, bruh.
Hacked. Yeah. My gosh.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
I tell you, he's fun to have here, though. Quite the character.
Yeah, he can rush the passer.
And we know about the Joneses.
No doubt. I wouldn't want to get into a fight with him. That's for damn sure.
No, we could. Me, you, and Cole, we could take them, right?
Me, you, and Cole versus the Jones brothers. Yeah, it's going to be – it wouldn't even be a long night. It would be quick work.
It'd be night-night. Yeah,
exactly. Well, look, we gotta get to our guests.
Yeah, I got a lot of things to talk about.
Yeah, this is quickly becoming a real favorite part of our week here. And that's time with Mr. Film Guru himself. You can find – all of this gentleman's film breakdowns and at his YouTube channel at Road Graders. That's ROADGRADERS, Road Graders on YouTube. Nobody does it better. Welcome back to the show, Mr. Cole Jackson.
Hey,
what's going on, Michael? Fellas? I'm doing good. How about you boys?
Doing good.
Well. Absolutely. Seeing the O's up early on the Astros doesn't hurt. But yeah, happy to get with you tonight. One of the more satisfying victories I can remember. It's early in the season, but to me, you send a team, a division opponent, 0-2, 0-1 at home, 0-2 in the division against a banged up Ravens team. I mean, how satisfying as a fan, Cole, was that victory?
Oh, I was up clapping so hard. My daughter ran up and told my wife, said, "Daddy's making my ears hurt." but I promise it was with good vibes, not bad ones. But, yeah, if that should give you a good insight into how fired up I was. No, it was just, honestly, it felt a lot like last year early in the year where, you know, they kind of come back, they make it tight, the offense had that punt, they score, and then it was just, you know, they finally went out and got it done, and it just shows, you know, the difference with this offense, and it's been awesome. It's been awesome.
Absolutely, man. Now I gotta ask you, I want to talk about this, Cole, here, because you are our resident expert when it comes to the film breakdown. So one of the things we were talking about before you hopped on was the fact that the Ravens are out there shopping for some additional running backs. I think that Justice Hill and certainly Gus Edwards, Cole, you may not know this, but Gus Edwards is my favorite Raven, so I talk about him way too much.
So choose your words carefully here.
You come after Gus, we're going to have problems. I just want to say, in defending my points about Gus Edwards, not one time have I been wrong. Just saying.
Hey, what happened to that fan that says Najee's way better?
Yeah, what happened to that?
Jesus. He just went and bought a Jalen Warren jersey
out there. That's right. But go ahead. What's your question?
No, my question is this: is that, like, I feel like they're getting those two can get the job done. You mix in, you know, a Melvin Gordon or a Keaton Mitchell, whatever. Like, what are you seeing on the tape that is making the Ravens make these calls, right? Bringing these guys forward. Is there something I'm missing? Should I be more concerned?
EDC calls on everyone. You know the narrative that the Ravens always miss on guys? Yeah. I think it's because he literally calls on everyone that becomes available and they become linked to them. If you guys think about it, every single time there's a free agent and the big, you know, the insider tweet goes out, it always says the 4 or 5 teams. Why are we always one of them? I asked around last week. I asked a couple of the guys that are pretty tight with the team. And this was before Cam Akers became available or whatever. I was told they had no interest in free agent running backs. Keaton Mitchell could have played the last preseason game. I have no doubt that there is something going on with his shoulder, but I think it was more of a stinger and not a long-term injury. I think they put him on IR to stash him. I'm not sure they do that if they don't see him playing a role at some point in this offense. I'm not very excited about Melvin Gordon by any means, but he's a vet. I mean, as your third, it's not the end of the world. I think they're just fine with what they have. And I think based on what I've seen, Gus and Hill, they're not going to be true number one backs, but they run hard, they run decisively, and they can be explosive. And, you know, we saw it last week with that crunch concept, kind of like a trap wham mixture where they had three guys going that way, the other three pulling behind them, and it opened like 19 yards for Gus. And he's running hard and decisive, right? So, and the same thing with Hill. Get Hill the ball out in space. You saw that little flip pass, and he was able to, you know, make a smart read to let his brother run by him and turn around and get the ball in open space. So I think it's just one of those things where, you know, the days of the number one running back are over. I think what you really need in your running back room are guys that are going to play smart, make smart decisions, make good reads, and be explosive and run through contact. I think you're getting that in both of them, and we're going to get a little spark plug in Keaton Mitchell here soon.
Yeah, I cannot wait to see Keaton Mitchell. I think you said it right, spark plug. I want to ask about these O-line replacements, because there was a lot of concern going into this game.
My boy McCarry.
Oh, man. And look, Mustafa, too. I mean, holy smokes. You got DJ Reader. You got Hendricks. I mean, you got a mean group of pass rushers.
Supposedly.
And I mean, they zero sacks. I know Lamar played certainly a part in zero sacks, but how much credit should we be giving McCarry and Mustafa today?
Oh, they played phenomenally. I mean, okay, so I don't want this to sound like I'm being negative towards him, because I'm not. It's just the reality of what they did on the O-line. They gave almost every rep except probably 4 or 5 that was a pass pro rep. They gave Mustafa help, and that's what you're going to do with any backup center. You know, it was a lot of him and John Simpson doubling guys. But when he needed to block a guy like DJ Reader one-on-one, he got it done. So that's not to take anything away from him. That's not to say they had to help him and he didn't play well. He absolutely played well. But they did help him a lot. The guy that I was the most impressed with was my boy Patrick McCary. Every year we need to call on someone to play one of the 5 spots. It's always him that steps in, and he did his best work against Trey Hendrickson, who's a back-to-back Pro Bowler 2 years in a row. Gave up 2 hurries. I will say the only thing, and I'm big on being honest. I'm not going to, you know, pump someone's tires. The fumble that was called back due to the other D tackle's hands to the face. Mm-hmm. That was McCary got his butt kicked by Hendrickson, and Hendrickson forced that ball out. So that happened, but it was a penalty, so it didn't happen. Right. But other than that, you erase that snap and maybe one where he didn't quite drop his anchor. He absolutely balled out on Trey Hendrickson, one of the best power rushers in the game. McCary played a hell of a game, and he's a guy that can play all 5 spots. There's not a better 6 offensive lineman in the entire NFL.
That's wow. Right. 8 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu. That's his life every single snap, man. Freaking Pat McCary, dude. I tell you what, Mustafa got signed real quick. To that
dude. Field.
There's no way they could have left him. And I mean, it makes you wonder, eh? Because like, I talked to a couple of the Bears film guys, because one of my best friends is a Bears fan. I was like the Bears growing up, because I always felt in the 2000s they were similar to us, right? Insanely good defense, and until 08 they didn't have a quarterback either. Mm-hmm. You know, they had their defense dragging
Rex Grossman to quarterback,
just like we dragged Trent Dilfer to the Super Bowl, Brian Urlacher, Ray Lewis. But anyway, all that to say is it's weird how Bears players keep leaving there. I keep getting told they're not that good. And then they get here, Roquan, Mustafa, balling out. It's just great to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that play. I'm sure you saw it a bunch when I think it was like it was a first down to Andrews over the middle, and Mustafa pulled and picked up Hendrickson on the right side. I mean, and blocked him like a left tackle out there, Cole.
Yeah, and that's one of the things they were doing. They were running some of that play action where they pull Mustafa out, and they did it a little bit with Pat Ricard in week one. It's just a way to move the pocket, get him out in a comfortable spot where he can just kind of hit a guy, drop his anchor, that sort of thing. So they did some creative things to help Mustafa out, but still, I'm not taking anything away from Mustafa when he had to block Reader one-on-one. I posted the clip on Twitter. He balled out, so kudos to him. Hell of a game.
Yeah, the other thing I want to mention too, speaking of the big boys, is everyone's been pulling up this clip, but that was in the first quarter, I believe. Morgan Moses absolutely destroyed, I don't even know, if it was a DB. Was it a
Mike Hilton? Former Steeler.
Yeah. Oh man, he got wrecked. That was awesome to see, right?
I don't know if you guys have seen it. I just put out a video at 6:30. I have about 7 plays by Morgan Moses in 2 weeks where he's pulling and just destroying DBs. Like,
so awesome.
He's gonna be on their hit list soon because my God, he's doing. And that's something that Monken has brought. You didn't see a lot of that pin and pull stuff. You'd see our tackles pull on some of the counter bash stuff where they'd be coming back through the middle. And we actually saw our first counter bash with Lamar this week when he just got tripped by the DB. But that pin and pull stuff where J.K. Dobbins touchdown, that one that you get the tight end to kind of crack block, Moses pulls around. That's a Todd Monken staple. He did it like crazy at Georgia. I tweeted about 100 times leading into the season because I was super excited to see it. And just to see Morgan Moses get out there and actually lay in the wood on people, I think it's given him a ton of confidence this year. He's played so well. And you guys, you can't underrate how good it makes you feel when you hit a pancake block and you get a highlight like that. Like, that really amps these guys up. So it's been great to see.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you what, Morgan Moses is a top heavy dude. So you get him leaning forward and running with a full,
like me going through my son. Just, it's got to feel like that, running through children when you're that big and blocking a DB. Like,
oh my goodness. And it's got to be so satisfying, right? Just smash. I want to talk about the outside guys too, Glenn. I mean, this is really to both of you. Like, I was super impressed with Zay, super impressed with Nelson Agholor. One of the things that came to my mind, though, when OBJ went out of that game was the Agholor. Was that really the game plan for OBJ? Like, I felt bad for OBJ, thinking like, dang, the game Agholor had was probably the game Odell would have had. But I want to get your guys' thoughts on just the wide receiver room in general, because, man, I'm excited about these guys.
Yeah, Cole, I just want to quickly – that release, I know it was an incomplete pass. It was an overthrow on Zay.
Mm-hmm.
But holy, did he leave that guy on the right side on that overthrow? I mean, the guy didn't even touch him. He was absolutely cooked. And I think that's a play that we're going to see them connect on in the very near future. But what were your thoughts overall on those guys on the outside, Cole?
Yeah, to answer your question, I don't think it was game plan specific. I actually think it was game plan specific to get Agholor, who they've been calling Nelly. I don't know if that's new. And the reason I say that is because Beckham has a line. Something that we're seeing Monken do that Roman didn't do is he's kind of playing these guys at set spots. You've seen Bateman and Zay move a little bit, but Odell's basically only playing the X receiver. Agholor last week had 17 snaps in the slot and only 7 wide. So you would assume that when Agholor kind of came in, started taking those snaps for OBJ, he would have been playing that X role if it was a 1-for-1, but he was playing more in the slot. So what they kind of did was move Bateman into the X and then get Agholor involved that way. But I know that they wanted to get Agholor involved after week one. I think he only had one target played. He basically was splitting reps with Bateman, because Bateman only played 38% in week one. But I think they wanted to get him involved. You know, you saw the deep shot early. It was real close. And then, they kind of started hitting him in the slot. I think the big thing is Agholor right now reminds me of Duvernay early last year when the pass catchers were healthy. He's basically drawing one-on-one looks constantly. And it's just giving him very favorable, easier matchups. And he's taking advantage, and he shows that kind of game-breaking ability. Like, I can't tell you, when I saw that ball go up in the touchdown and I saw Agholor bend, I just started thinking of the Michael Crabtree, Lee Evans, TJ Houshmandzadeh, all, not that it was a big moment like that, like a playoffs type moment, but it just felt like, okay, QB is going to drop one in a bucket. Our guy's not going to be able to bring it in. It just feels different this year. And that goes for OBJ. Bateman's been quote unquote quiet. He's made some really nice catches though. And like crucial ones. Like I think four of his catches, I think he's got six, four of them were for first downs. Work in the middle of the field really well. He looks comfortable. There's no discomfort in his foot. He's playing physical. I think it's really exciting. They just, the vibe with the wide receiver group feels different than it used to. And I actually think that's a huge boost from OBJ. I think he's that type of leader. He gets in there. He's the man that invented swag, like comes in with the, you know, the wacky hair and, you know, he walks with his chest out. And I think that rubs off on these guys, gives them confidence. I love it.
Yeah. Well, how nervous are we going to be if Kim Kardashian shows up? Oh, game?
Dude.
I have concerns.
Dude, she's going to be there soon. And let me tell you. She's
wearing purple pants, I'm telling you.
I do not want to see her in the bank, dude.
Nah, the curse of the Kardashians is real. So please, keep your distance, Odell. Or, look, just, I know who better not ask about it. Jameson Hensley better not ask Odell about it. Because Odell does not seem to like that man. The look on his face when he was asked about the last time he had played in that stadium. Yeah, he looked absolutely furious. But also, less. Thing I have for offense for me, Cole, is we talked about the ability to handle the blitz. This has been an issue for the Ravens last year, heading into this year. I said that was my key to the game offensively, is you got to be able to handle the blitz. I thought they did a spectacular job. It's so cool to see a competent passing game that can handle a zero blitz, because it didn't seem like we could last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the big thing was they took care of it early. And I think that's the most important thing when you get beat. And this happened in the last year's Miami game. Yeah. Last year's Miami game was the not so debacle. They beat that cover zero blitz early. And then you saw way less of it. And that's how you kind of prevent it from turning into the 2 years ago Miami game, where it was the same thing every play. It was insane. But you know, they had, the big shout out to Gus, Jimmy's boy Gus. He stepped up on that one where they brought seven, and Gus stepped up right into the middle, went hat on hat, and absolutely obliterated the blitzing linebacker. So kudos to him, because that's what you need in a six-man protection. Your six-man has to make a block. And they ran that slant with Aguilar. Aguilar just ran it tight. Lamar delivered with anticipation. That was the most comfortable I've seen Lamar look in the pocket since 2019. He just looked so, repeating myself, but comfortable. Like, there's no other way to put it. He stood tall. When pressure did come, there was no kind of, you know, not hearing footsteps, no panic feet. He just stood, delivered. It was a thing of beauty.
Absolutely, man.
I want to talk about the defense, Jimbo, because
let's do it.
Mike McDonald seems to have the number of the Cincinnati Bengals. We saw it last year, where he really slowed down that pass attack. Again today, or on Sunday, had them starting real, real sluggish. You know, back-to-back three and outs. They got some stuff going, but it just didn't seem like they could ever really get into the flow they wanted to. What was your take on Mike McDonald and how he owns the Cincinnati Bengals?
He just calls a variety of coverages. If you go back and look at the Geno Stone interception, they used a really nice zone man match. So, T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. Boyd was in the slot. Higgins was out wide, and they basically ran that, you know, that classic Madden play where they run the scissors and they basically, you know, slant over top of one another.
Play action crossers,
yeah, something like that. And so when Higgins cut inwards, because it was zone match, Roquan ended up carrying the outside receiver, and our Darius that was in the slot stayed with Boyd. So in Burrow's head, he thought he got one-on-one Higgins against Roquan. As good as Roquan is, wide receiver against linebacker is a mismatch. But because they didn't have Stone playing like a cover three type coverage over deep on top of Stevens versus Chase, he was just standing there. Burrow, all he sees is that matchup, and he throws the ball thinking he's got an easy one, and then Stone steps right into it. So, you know, seeing a mixture of cover two, zone match, the way he mixed a lot of, they ran a lot of cover four too, you know, that kind of half quarter. So it was just, a variety of coverages. I thought he just put his mind in a blender. Like he didn't know what was coming all day. He wasn't himself. And it was weird to me. Like usually when you get uncomfortable like that, and you don't have anything going, you could go to a guy like Ja'Marr Chase who lined up with Brandon Stevens a lot. And I just feel like they didn't do that. And mm-hmm. the other thing, I know people were like, where's the pass rush? Where's the pass rush? That ball in the first half was legit coming out in 2.01 seconds. If he hadn't held the ball more in the second half, that would have been the lowest time to throw in Joe Burrow's career. Mm. You can't get home in 2 seconds. There's a play where Odafe lined up right over Jonah Williams, hit his outside shoulder, spun back inside, completely clean. It wasn't even a stalwart. The ball was already out. Like, and he absolutely destroyed him on the rep. If he hits that, that's a rare high quality pass rush sack. But you know,
and on the sack, the sack Clowney had, I saw somewhere that he had the fastest takeoff of the season so far this year. A get off,
so
right?
Good. Like, I mean, it's insane. He's explosive.
Yeah. So, and yeah, I mean, he got home with the fastest get off in the league this year thus far.
Pretty good signing.
And that was in the second half, right? So I think he finished with his TTT at 2.28, which is extremely low. It's one of the lowest of Burrow's career. So it just shows how much, like, the second half when they're trying to make the comeback, you have to hold the ball a little bit more. And you actually saw the pass rush make a bit of an impact. I think they finished with, like, 8 pressures, which again felt low, but that's because that was the Bengals game plan. They were not going to hold the ball. His yards per average was also one of the lowest of his career thus far.
Yeah, this is what I want to know defensively. This is the most important and the last urgent question that I have defensively for you, Cole. How concerned are you about Ardarius Washington hitting IR?
Yeah, that was shocking. I guess maybe it was just me, and my apologies if I missed it, but I don't remember him getting hurt in the game.
Me neither.
Okay. So it wasn't like a thing, right? Like he wasn't. No. Okay. So shocked, not good. Arthur Millette. I mean, I didn't think Sam Mustafa was going to be that good. So what do I know? But I'm worried about Millette going in without Marlowe coming back. I thought Ardarius was playing really well. He's just not been able to stay healthy, unfortunately. So it sucks. But, you know, they're going to turn to Millette. Marlowe's going to have to play in there a little bit when he gets up. I thought Darby looked pretty good, so I think he can, and so did Rock. So I think they can be nice rotating outside players, but what are you going to do in the slot now? You don't have a guy. You don't really want to have to play Marlowe in the slot like they did a few years ago. That one's going to be a challenge. That's going to be something that teams are going to look to exploit.
Mm, yeah, that's going to be a tough one. I wonder if we see if the safeties, even with Marcus down, can do anything to kind of help that, maybe – bringing that new guy in that they just brought as Duran, and maybe let Kyle try and help out a little bit down there. But yeah, that's certainly going to be, that's going to be a tough one to overcome, but it looks like, with this week coming up, what's your early expectations? Have you had a chance to peek at what the Colts have to offer? What's your early take on the Colts?
Yeah, they're the biggest concern for me is their D line. They're good and they're deep. They have 6 guys with 4+ pressures through 2 games. They got guys rotating in. They got guys inside like DeForest Buckner. They got outside. Quiddy Pay's finally starting to hit that developmental curve that, you know, I think we're seeing in Odafe Owe. They're seeing that in Indy with Pay. Deo out of Vanderbilt's finally starting to, he finally got healthy. He's making plays. It's deep. They're going to be constantly, they kind of got a group that can get home with 4. You know, they got Shaq Leonard in the middle that can make plays, but they're not as stout on the back end, which is, I think, a very unique spot for the Ravens, because usually what I would do last year, and honestly the previous like 3 or 4 years with Roman, is I'd always be focused on the D-line, right? Because no matter what, it was going to be a run-based offense. It's just a lot different now. Like, Monken goes out there and he slings it. He's not afraid to run it, but he wants to throw the ball. So I think it gives us a big matchup, or a big spot to take advantage of some matchups. And so I think you're going to see them lining up in that 11 personnel spread, moving the ball out to the edges and just kind of letting Lamar do what he did early this week, you know, hit some of those play actions, get him comfortable, give him space, and let the wide receivers do their thing.
Yeah. I tell you what, can you be really concerned about the Colts with Gardner Minshew though?
That's the thing. Like on offense, I mean, the thing about Minshew is he's just going to go out there and just sling it, right? So he's he's going to be looking for some big plays over top of you. But, you know, I'm not – I don't – maybe I'll regret saying this, but you can't sit there and fear that offense, right? Like, they don't have Jonathan Taylor. Who are they going to run the ball through? Zach Moss did have a good game last week, so kudos to him.
Shout out to Zach Moss. Go Utes, baby.
There it is. So, you know, that's a spot where they're going to have to try and run the ball. They got a couple tight ends. They got Michael Pittman, but, you know, it's not something that can really make you – but that defense is legit. I like that D-line. I think they're going to be good. But, again, I think they almost need to borrow a little bit of what the Bengals did. Get the ball out quick. Let your guys cook in space. You know,
Cole, I have another question for you. Yeah. You just said the word borrow. What's Joe Burrow's last name?
Burrow. What? Are you making fun? Do you know how many words I get?
It's Baltimore. You can't pick on somebody else's accent.
Dude, I get picked on my YouTube channel all the time because I say root, like root running instead of route. It's crazy. And I always say milk instead of milk.
Right. Well, is it a bag or is it a bag?
Bag.
All right.
Yeah.
I have some isms over here. Like I say some words that people
What's
are
the
like,
last letter of the alphabet?
Z.
Okay.
What'd you think? Okay. They said Zed or something?
Right. Zed, like I have a buddy from the middle part of Canada. What is there?
The prairies, like Saskatchewan, Manitoba.
Yeah. Anyway, he says Zed.
Whatever.
There's not much over there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. And sorry, isn't that another one?
I do say sorry a lot, yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
Nice. But yeah, guys, if you guys want to check out all the things that Cole, you know, has to offer over on YouTube, all the film breakdowns, really gets into the nitty gritty, especially paying homage to the big sloppies, as we like to call it, the guys who don't get as much love, don't get as much attention. You can check that over at Road Graders on YouTube, or of course you can see Cole's Twitter handle right there. Cole, thanks so much for joining us. We're fortunate enough that Cole's going to be joining us every Tuesday after the Ravens game to help break down the film. So we're super thankful and fortunate to have you. Cole, thanks for so much for joining us. Look forward to talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot, boys. Have a good week. Go Ravens. Beat Indy. Let's go.
That's right.
Take care, guys.
Thanks.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah, man. That's exciting, man. You can see he's got some juice watching the film this year as opposed to last year.
Yeah, big time, and definitely a difference there. It's funny because ultimately, Glenn was plugging his channel, but if you guys want to be able to have some ammo when you're talking to your friends and really feel like the expert in the room, I mean, obviously watch our show because we'll give you all the predictions. Just check out last week and how correct I was with my predictions. Obviously check out Cole's channel because he'll give you the inside scoop and, you know, really make sure you feel like a professional. Look who decided to show up. Look what the cat dragged in. DK's over here, dude. Throwing back shots, doing whatever he does, you know.
I knew
goodness
it,
gracious.
Starting with the bottle girls.
Work meeting, right? Yeah, DK, we know what that means. Come
right now,
on,
you guys
man.
Can't see him, but he looks completely inebriated. I mean, his hair is everywhere. It's insane. I mean, one eye's going this way, the other that way, you know, whatever that fish is. And shout to Raven Ron, keep me up to date. I do have the O's game on in the corner, and Cole, look, I'm calling Cole. Hayes just hit a 3-run homer, so shout out to the O's.
Someone said show DK. Should we show DK?
I don't know if he's show ready. I mean, I don't know if he's show ready.
All right, you ready? Watch this. You ready for this? Hey-o! You got a peek.
You got a peek. That's all.
All you get. That's all you get, ladies and gentlemen.
Anyway, hey, I gotta ask your take. You know, they talked before the season. We talked about the AFC North being the toughest division. We talked about it being, you know, top to bottom, really no slouches. But here we are 2 weeks into it. We got the Bengals at 0-2, the Browns and Steelers sitting at 1-1. Here's the Ravens sitting at the top, 2-0. Some brutal injuries, you know, are going across the AFC, the North. It's not just the Ravens, and they've had their fair share. But now Burrow with the calf, it looks like it might sideline him. We saw the terrible – I mean, you feel just gutted for a guy like Nick Chubb, who in 2015 – had a complete reconstruction of his left knee, all that completely out the door last night. I mean, he got his knee absolutely shredded in every single way. they're, you know, the Steelers have their issues with Deontay on IR, Cam Hayward on IR. What's your kind of state of the AFC North after 2 weeks when we said this was the most competitive division, Jimbo? We're the only team sitting at 2-0.
Yeah,
of course, I guess we're the only team that could have, well, only one team could have been 2-0, right? Because the other one's
true.
Well, if the Browns would have won, they could have been 2-0.
Yeah, that's true. I still feel like this is the division in the NFL with the most depth. So, like, the worst team right now on well, according to the record, is the Cincinnati Bengals, right? There's two teams that are 0-2, right? The Steelers.
No,
the Steelers won last night. Yeah. What am I thinking? Yeah. So there's only one team that's 0-2, and they went to back-to-back AFC Championship games and a Super Bowl. So, like, to me, in my mind, it's still the deepest division. I don't know. I still think it's the best. I'm a bit biased.
Not a whole lot of competition.
Right.
AFC East.
Yeah, exactly. And you maybe could say AFC East. Obviously, Rodgers was healthy, but you know, you got turnover machine Zach Wilson over there. He just gives the football. He's like Oprah, man. You get a football. You get a football. You get it. Like, dude, this is crazy. Why have they not called to get the best quarterback in Utah when they were playing in college together? Right? Like, why would you not call about Tyler Huntley?
The Ravens ain't answering that call, Jimbo.
No, they're not. But don't you think that they should call?
Yeah. I you know what? I saw a trade today. It said it's some Ravens part. They said I'm sorry, this is totally a sidetrack, but a trade. Cam Akers for Gus Edwards. Who's saying no? And every single comment was like, the Ravens will say no. Everyone on the Ravens.
Are you kidding me? Kick rocks, dude.
Yeah,
Cam Akers and what army for, like, what are you talking? The dude averaged 6.2 a carry in the last game.
Man, Cam Akers seems like a me guy, and Gus Edwards is definitely not that. So.
No. And you can tell John loves himself some Gus Edwards, man.
Yeah, super grateful. Buddy.
But yeah, I mean, I think we're still the best. We're still the best division in football.
Yeah. Okay.
But ultimately, like,
do you feel better about the Ravens' chances? Because to me, I feel way better after watching that game.
What I called and said to you last night? Memory test. And when I called you during the game, we were talking right before the Nick Chubb injury. What I said about this game, I was like, dude, neither team scares me.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right.
Because I thought just watching the highlights from the Browns Cincy game, I was like, okay, week one. Browns look real. Like, Cincinnati's a real team. They went out and snuffed them.
Yep.
Right. So now I'm thinking, okay, the Browns are legit. And then they lose. And Deshaun Watson doesn't look good. And his psyche, did you see he's got a burner?
A burner account?
The Twitter, apparently they found his, and it's called Free Deshaun Watson or something like that. Yeah, and he's bashing his coaches and liking tweets about his coach and stuff like the dude's psyche is gone. He shoved a referee last night.
I know. I don't know how he didn't get tossed, dude. I was shocked.
Yeah. Pointing at someone like, what are you going to do about it, dude? You know, and of course, you know.
And then you lose Nick Chubb.
Oh, and then you lose the best player, the best offensive player on your team.
They lost their explosion. And then now they're totally reliant on a quarterback they gave all this money to. And he just isn't the guy. He's just not the guy.
Yeah, and Deshaun Watson's sitting like, dang, my contract doesn't even look that good anymore.
Yeah, that guarantee still looks pretty damn
good. No, but I mean, once Burrow got, what, 219 guaranteed? And then what's his name?
They're getting there, but 249 is still the top of the top.
No, yeah, but once Mahomes hit it, in 4 years, dude, he's going to get 210 4 years.
The Steelers won with two defensive touchdowns.
Crazy.
I mean, Deshaun Watson throws a pick six. He gets strip sacked. And so, by the way, the Steelers, to me, they don't scare. I mean, Kenny Pickett, you can buy into them all you want. Yeah. I'm not a believer. And Jimbo, you know what? Sometimes you say some wild stuff. And I go, what is this guy saying? And I remember early on, you said Najee was a bum from the start.
I told you.
And I was like, dude, Najee's pretty good, dude. I remember watching it. I mean, he was pretty good. And I'm telling you what, dude, he looks bad, dude. I watched that game last night. It is no doubt to me that Jaylen Warren is the best running back on that team. To me, it is no doubt He looks slow. He looks plodding. He's choppy with his feet. He looks like his vision is gone. I don't know what's going on. He does. I mean, it looks like old Le'Veon Bell, where he's plodding. Like, it went from patient to be able to explode through the hole to patience, and you just keep waiting for that explosion through the hole, and it never happens.
Running in mud. Exactly.
That's exactly what it looks like, running in mud, like he's running across a sticky floor.
Yeah.
I am not at all concerned about these teams. I think the Ravens not only win this division, Jimbo, I think they run away with it at one point.
Yeah, I hope you're right. Now, this is the funny thing. We were talking about this last night, and I was saying this to you right when Chubb got hurt. So obviously the conversation changed, but I always get nervous about the end of the season. So you were like, dang, it's crazy for me to think about rooting for the Steelers because then we're first in the division. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
But I was thinking in my mind, what I was trying to say was at the end of the year, the Steelers and the Browns generally do opposite things where the Browns just go into the dumpster and the Steelers find a way to hang around forever and ever, ever. Right. So part of me wanted the Browns to win. Cause I was like, just stomp out the fire now. Right. Like let's just throw the dirt on them.
Yeah.
But how crazy is it to think that if I'm not mistaken, in consecutive years, the Steelers spent a first round pick on Najee Harris and then Kenny Pickett in consecutive years, right?
That's not good. Hey, look, Ravens have had their fair share of first round misses too, but yeah, that's brutal. Brutal.
Mm-hmm. Kenny Pickett was drafted before Lamar Jackson and Gus Edwards wasn't even drafted.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, that's a good point. James Lee Wiley tends to agree. It looks like he says Steelers and the Browns looked terrible last night.
Yeah.
Neither could get it done. Neither offense scares me at all.
And now, defensively,
they got some players defensively, but offensively, I think if you don't have a quarterback, you can't go too far nowadays.
Yeah, and we said this about Deshaun Watson, right? I also want to mention this. I thought it was hilarious. I was talking to my wife last night, and we play FanDuel. Like, we just do one game fantasy games, right?
That's cool.
And it's a lot of fun. And
you mean now, when you say FanDuel, you mean BetUS, correct?
BetUS, yes. Excuse me, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
But
you misspoke. Right.
So we do that, and.
Punch you right through the screen.
So no, but what I was gonna say though is that I totally lost my train. Oh, we made a mutual agreement not to take Deshaun Watson because he's an absolute scumbag, right? Okay, we just weren't gonna take Deshaun Watson. Yeah. And I was telling you, I was like, man, we have a lot of competitive guys in our draft. If you guys ever had a moment to sit down with our fantasy league, you would understand this. But and no one. Because he's that much of a scumbag. No one said, scumbag aside, I think this guy's going to get it done this year. No one took him. And you know what, Glenn? I don't think he's ever going to recover.
No, he's done. He is absolutely done. And it's a shame in a way because, you know, you kind of feel for their fan base because they finally thought, I mean, look, we couldn't draft him. We couldn't convince them to sign in any logical way.
Yeah.
The only thing we could do is give them the keys to our entire organization to finally get a guy who we thought could be our savior. And once again, he's just the next in line on that jersey of 48,000 quarterbacks. He's just the next guy in line, but he is no difference maker. The only difference is his paycheck is a whole lot bigger than all those guys combined.
Yeah. I'd say speaking of paycheck. And fattening the wallet. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about our sponsor of the show, Glenn. Talk to me about our excellent partner in BetUS.
Absolutely. BetUS is the OG in the sports betting game. They have any possible bet you could imagine, whether it's prop bets, whether it's player bets, season long, or halftime bets. I mean, quarter bets, pregame bets, they got it all. And the best part about it is they will match 125% of your initial deposit up to $2,500, ladies and gentlemen. So you put in 10, you're getting, what's that, $2,250? What is that? Is that correct?
Yeah, something like that.
It might be wrong.
You're the mathematician.
But it's something like that is what I'm saying. So it's free money. Go with what you know. I think right now the line currently sits at 8.5. To me, you're at home?
Yeah, with a backup quarterback.
I'm taking it.
I'll also tell you what. I lost my train of thought again. What is happening to me?
What's going on, man?
No, I had something good to say, and I totally forgot.
All right, you taking your omegas?
Yeah, I'm taking my omegas. Don't worry,
brother.
All right, DK is gonna. Oh, that's what I was gonna say. DK is gonna put the link in the description. But what I was gonna say is that this week was the first week nobody pulled the trigger. Don't be scared. It's easy money, and we'll help you out. Yeah. We got you right here.
That's it. Hey, look, Jimbo.
The Ravens
will get
it done for you.
2-0, Baker Mayfield right now. What do you think about that?
Wow. Wow. I mean, are we living in the upside down? Yeah, DK saying he called that one, dude.
Look,
DK's got to call us. Hey, DK, I tell you what, even a broken clock is right twice a day, my man.
Hey, Baker, man, leader of men.
He's got a good unit around him, doesn't he?
He does got a heck of a cast. Goodness. But, man, looking good in a division that is just, I mean, right for the taking. No one wants this division, and why not let Tampa go get it?
Yeah, absolutely. And like Glenn said, talking about our sponsor, of course, go out there, get it done, use the link in the description, and then also support the show. Like, it's a great way for you guys to show us some love, so we appreciate it. But we also got to give a shout-out to our Week 2 Over-Under competition winner. Yeah. Is this the first time he's won, DK?
No?
No? Last year he won as well?
I don't even recognize
Dang, hoodies back-to-back. Timothy Reynolds.
Shout out to Timothy. I mean, some guys just seem to get it. Every week they're right up there, no matter how many new additions we get to the prediction. It seems like those guys, something they got a little DK
homework,
in
man.
Them is what it is.
That's
they
right.
got a little DK.
That's right. They do the homework and they get it done. There's two types of people that get it right. There's the deep thinkers and there's a shoot from the hip.
Yeah, I think DK is a deep thinker.
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not.
No, you're an old gunslinger. Let's put it that way.
Shoot right from the hip, dude. That's all it takes. And, you know, look, deep thinking has never worked in my favor. So why do
your
it?
First reaction
is usually the best one.
Yep.
The other ones are just followed with fear and, you know, just go with the first one, man.
Yeah, I'm with you.
It's my life advice.
But look, that's it for us tonight, ladies and gentlemen. But we will be back Friday to break down this upcoming matchup with the Indianapolis Colts. We have a longtime friend and guest of the show, Kevin Wickey, is going to be joining us, who covers the Colts for the Colts Wire under USA Today. But excited to kind of hear. Look, the Colts were expected to really not go much of anywhere, especially with all the off the field turmoil with their owner going up against their running back in a Twitter battle. But it looks like they're making some waves out there. I think they certainly hit, it looks like, on their young quarterback, who looks further along than Justin Fields, despite the fact that he's a rookie who's played in just a couple games. We'll see if he can.
You said ultimately. It. They're leaning into his athleticism, man.
Yeah, and also, I mean, he's just making decisions well. I mean,
yeah.
I think they're a lot. They're going to be a lot tougher matchup than people would have expected before the season. So make sure you guys catch up with us Friday, 8:00. We'll be live. Make sure you're here. Don't miss it.
See you. Ah! Is it only after games?
Ah! Nah.